So come down to Victory Square this September 4th from 2 to 9 p.m. For more information, go to victorysquareblockparty.com.
Shuttle is going two times the speed of sound at the moment.
Do you like sports? Are you looking for a way to give back to your community? Right to Play is an international organization that empowers kids through sports. Here at UBC, our volunteers work to provide equal opportunity for sport to children in the Vancouver area. We raise money to support Right to Play's global initiatives because we believe that when children play, the world wins. Check us out on our Facebook page and get involved today so that kids can be kids.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
You've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Yes, how he feels, but blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. That's a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise After Show, a half hour of chit-chat and wicked music this week. Hosted by myself and featuring special friends slash guests, whatever you want to call them. It's Connor Neckleput and Sierra Wiley who joins me now. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, doing very well, Sam. Thanks for having us on the show.
Ah, pleasure, pleasure. We got a bit of an audience tonight out there, haven't we? We are currently airing, of course, from the radio station at UBC, and there is a massive what do we
gathering?
Call it? Start. A gathering, jumpstart, a mob outside the station.
A youthful gathering.
apparently, I guess they're learning about being at UBC by sitting in a massive group on the steps.
So shall we crank it or what?
I really wish we could. I feel like we might get in a little bit of trouble if we start blasting.
But isn't that the reason why we're this kind of punk sketch comedy radio show is to actually get in trouble?
I think we need to show them the edge of what UBC is, right?
Because there's
the jumpstart orientation and there's the white noise orientation, am I right?
And they need both.
Yeah, but have we ever been about ramming it down people's throats? Like, I feel like we let people come to us.
Perfectly easily get up and leave.
Not all of our sketches are about sex, Simon.
Fair enough,
not
fair
that
enough.
Kind, anyway.
It is a shame, really.
It is. But I think it is time for a bit of white noise. Just to let you know before we start, though, you can keep up with us throughout the week on Facebook and Twitter at White Noise UBC. And, of course, our best of page is whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. But without further ado, it's time for some white noise.
Warning. The following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
evening and welcome to White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by the Army. It's just like Call of Duty, except this time you get to shoot the 12-year-olds. First up tonight, some old people are complaining.
These bloody millennials don't know they're born.
I know. They live at home till they're 25. By 25, I had 3 kids, a mortgage, and a bloody stomach ulcer.
All they do is watch Netflixes, play video games, and drink energy drinks.
Yeah, in our day, we had local theatre, Coca-Cola, and dysentery.
At least Coca-Cola still had cocaine in it.
I always said original Coke was the best. We had to put up with 2 world wars, the Cold War, the Vietnam War, and the bloody War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds was just a radio play, Bernard.
Tell that to the dead alien buried in me garden. In our day, sex was sex. One man, one woman, in a bed. None of this rainbow parties, Tinder, Grindr, and rose budding.
What's rose budding?
Well, it's not the gardening tips I was looking for. I can tell you that much.
We also had to wear long dresses. None of this bum hanging out of your shorts and sleeveless tees.
Aye. Men wore suits that fitted, not skinny jeans worn by fat asses. And people wore glasses because they had a prescription, not because it went with their paisley scarf.
What a joke.
I know. Christ. Wish I was a millennial.
Me too.
Don't we all? The nearest I ever came to sexting was when I texted a question to the STD clinic. Next up tonight, it's the Rap Sesh with Karen Morley, where she interviews self-proclaimed feminist rapper Little P. Enjoy!
Good evening and welcome to the Rap Sesh. I'm Karen Morley, and tonight I'm joined by multi-platinum album-selling rapper Little P.
What up? You're looking professional today, Karen.
Thank you, Little P. Of course, that comment was right in line with your new outlook on life.
Oh, 100% it is. I used to be this typical, misogynistic, homophobic gangster rapper. But now I've been reborn.
In what sense?
Well, since my last album, Shake It and I'll Spank It, I met this shorty who showed me the error of my ways. She was all up in my grill and, damn, she was right. My lyrics have supported this idea of women as second-class citizens. Like, they were below men. I've been acting like such a little bitch. Wait, no, I mean pussy. No, wait. I'm sorry. There are just so many insults that mean being a woman. Isn't it crazy?
No, we had noticed.
Well, that's all in the past for me now. My new album reflects a more enlightened perspective.
Eloquently put.
Thank you. I'm completely changed. I go down on girls without them even asking now.
That is sadly more impressive than it should be. So, what new themes have you reflected in your latest LP?
Well, one of my tracks called Liberating Labias is all about how, like, women have all this stigma surrounding how they like to get down. Like, if she wants to get down, let her get down. But it goes both ways. Maybe my bro doesn't want to get down. He should be allowed not to get down. Sometimes a homie just wants to cuddle.
Yes, you cover that concern more fully in the track. Homies don't have to be hoes.
For sure. Ironically, that is a great track to bang to. Another thing my shorty let me in on is that ladies don't always like being stared at in public just because they showing some skin. That idea really inspired my track, Can't Stare, Gotta Strafe.
Oh yes, I particularly enjoyed the lyric, if she sees your eyes, don't let them be on her thighs.
That is gangsta girl for show. Another thing I learned was like how ladies can do all the stuff that dudes can do, like science, politics, and rolling blunts. I talk about it in the track, Booty and Brains. They got some mad skills, some of them. Of course, some of them can't do shit, but for every one of them, I got a bro who can barely spell his name.
I noticed you also touched upon the issue of disproportional pay.
Huh?
Your song about women getting underpaid for the same job as a man.
Oh, right, yeah, you're talking about Where's My Lady's Cheddar. Yes, that track I'm very proud of. Plus, I got the music I sampled super cheap because some lady wrote it. Wait, oh, crap. I gotta fix that.
So, do you think other rappers will follow suit? Is this the evolution of rap?
Nah. For one thing, there's already some rappers doing as I do. It's just none of you actually buy their records. You're too busy listening to this bullshit, femme-bashing, mainstream chum. And secondly, my ideas won't stick with people. Don't be naive. It's the same when you rap about being a G. People like to pretend that they are a gangster for half an hour while they bob their head and spit the rhymes. Then they go back to the actual reality of working in their food court and forget all about it.
Thank you for joining me today, Little P. And you can pick up Little P's new album, I Just Want to Bang Empowered Women, online and at all good retailers. This was the Rap Sesh.
Thank you, Little P and Karen. I can't wait to get that classic in my collection. That interview was brought to you in part by the police. Join us now, because soon we'll all have to wear cameras and it won't be as fun. Next up is a British nature documentary focusing on the ever-growing urban wilderness.
Good evening and welcome to Urban Wilderness. I'm Sir David Squattenborough, and tonight we track the movements of the majestic urban cougar. I'm currently sitting in my carefully chosen viewing spot, the VIP booth of my local nightclub. Ah, I think I see one now. Yes, there is one approaching my hiding spot. You can spot one by her distinctive camouflage of leopard skin and copious amounts of face paint. Her claws are distinctly long and painted an unflattering acid green. She prowls across the open landscape atop of 4-inch heels designed to lengthen her meaty cankles. She's alert and hungry, a side effect of her heavy consumption of leafy greens and diet pills. She appears to have spotted a group of potential prey, a troop of urban gorillas, or in Latin, Knuckleus Stragulus. The urban gorilla has equally distinctive characteristics. Its back is broad, its brain is little used, and its collar is popped. She doesn't attack right away. She is attempting to spot the weakest of the group that could be easily separated from the pack. They will be defenseless to her cougar moves, which have been perfected over decades of clubbing. You do have to wonder why, though. She hasn't found greener pastures. Maybe she likes being alone. Maybe she hasn't found the one. Maybe she's really annoying. Oh, one gorilla has begun a tribal dance. He's shouting what appears to sound like, "So much mass, bruh!" And then the other one responds, "Yeah, bruh!" Such a beautiful language. The gorilla troops migrate, begins across the dance floor. However, one is left face down on the table. She begins to canter towards him. But disaster strikes as one of her heels snaps. She spills forward. Gold jewelry is everywhere. The gorilla perks up. He senses the danger, and away he goes, running for his life. Good lad, he shall survive another day. The cougar lets out a roar of frustration and limps away defeated. I am Sir David Squattenborough. Join us again for more Urban Wilderness.
Thank you, Sir David Squattenborough. That piece was brought to you in part by e-cigarettes, for people who want to look like they smoke a magic flute. Next up tonight is an infomercial for a product I own 20% of.
From the people who brought you such musical collections as the best Green Room recordings ever.
One, two. Testing.
And post-gig discussions.
That went pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, I think I played all the notes.
We now bring you the best of music recorded on phones at gigs, featuring all your favorites, such as... And who could forget? Don't miss your chance to own them all now. And act soon and receive this limited edition video recorded on someone's shitty camera. Call now!
Now available in all good retailers and in the car park if you meet me later. Next up tonight is an alternative theatre piece, Hipster Heartbreak.
Hey, dude, we really need to, like, talk.
Talk? That is so mainstream.
Yeah, I know, but we need to.
I'm kind of busy. I'm recording rare DVDs on a Betamax. It's making a comeback, you know?
This is more important.
I doubt it. And anyway, after this, I'm brewing some amazing mead, then I'm going suspender shopping.
Please just listen.
Fine. What is it?
I'm breaking up with you.
What? Why?
You're not hipster enough for me.
You're joking, right? Me? Not hipster enough. I was the first guy to drink PBR.
No, you weren't. That beer's like 150 years old.
Well, I totally brought in Paisley.
Really? I don't remember your fashion career.
Well, do you know anyone else who knits their own shirts?
Yeah, my grandma.
Well, I can change. I could be a better hipster. I could wear more ironic clothing. I could bake gluten-free. I could grow a terrible mustache. I promise.
I shouldn't have to ask you to do those things. You should want to do them without being asked.
I know, and I really want to be more of a hipster. But some of us aren't, like, born as naturally gifted. We have to work at it.
It's not enough, Kane. I'm sorry.
What about all the ultimate frisbee? The improv comedy nights? The vegan dinners? The 12 hours of feminist monologues?
It's not enough.
How can you do this?
What? You know what I was like when we met.
What you were like? I was a lawyer. I had it all until that fateful night when I stumbled across your one-man show, sat in the audience in my Armani suit, and vowed to give it all up for 5 minutes in your tattooed arms.
Then you weren't being honest with yourself.
Honest? Do you think I like being thought of as some uptight pencil pusher?
I assumed so. Someone has to be happy with that, or else why the hell would so many people do it?
Money.
Wow. That is so bourgeoisie.
Says the man whose daddy pays his rent.
Hey, my dad doesn't have to pay my rent. He's happy to do it.
And I was happy to give it all up for you. I was enchanted by you. That's why I moved into this weird shared living space. Look, I became what I thought you wanted me to be so we could be together. So please, just tell me what to do.
There really isn't anything you can do.
There has to be.
It's over, Kane. I've fallen for another.
Who is he?
Oh, don't worry about it. Someone you've never heard of.
Unlucky Kane. I've been there. I once got a tattoo for a woman's affection. I don't even like butterflies. Next up is medical drama, Nervous Norman.
Good afternoon, sir.
Sorry, but who are you?
Dr. Ball's the name. Medicine's the game. How can I help you?
Where's Dr. Willis?
Willis has been let go.
Let go? Why?
Apparently, his prostate exams had a few more extra steps than any medical textbook I've ever seen.
Oh! I just thought he was being thorough.
Well, I'm sure the resulting investigation will be. So, what can I do for you?
Well, it's... Well, sorry. I'm just really nervous. I have a bad history with doctors and pain.
Well, as I said, that wasn't the correct way to do a prostate check.
Oh, not that. It's just, ever since I was a child, every time I go to the doctors, I seem to always end up in agony.
Well, I will try to be gentle. Now, come on, what's wrong? I haven't got all day. I have a very important gynecological appointment next.
Oh, no. Is the patient really sick?
No, just smoking hot. So, what's the matter?
Oh, it's my knee. It's been hurting me since... What are you doing with that?
Oh, this hammer?
Yes.
Just hanging my certificates up. Easy, buddy. Carry on.
Well, yeah, so... My knee. It gets this shooting pain every time I... What the hell is that for?
This screwdriver?
Yes!
Just adjusting my chair. Wow, you're more nervous than a fat teenager on a date.
So what do I do about the pain?
Well, there's a simple operation I can perform to correct it.
Oh, what with the drill? Oh, wait, of course. You're just going to mount that set of antlers lying on the floor.
Aren't they marvelous? I started hunting only last year. Who'd have thought doctors would enjoy killing so much? However, no. This drill is for you. Where are you going? God, some people can't take a joke.
Oh, that poor Norman. I hate going to the doctors too. All they ever do is tell me I have diabetes. Change the record, guys. Next up tonight is a period piece in the earliest 20th century play about the life of doctors.
Hello, David. How's it going?
Michael, good to see you. I haven't seen you since 1902 in Geneva.
That's right, before you got struck off.
How'd you know about the sucking off?
I said struck off.
Oh, so are you enjoying this poor excuse for a medical conference?
Oh, definitely. Did you see my speech on bloodletting?
Oh, yeah, amazing stuff. I only wish we could save more people with it.
I know. I had 3 patients with colds come in last week, and 2 of them, as soon as I drained 4 pints of blood, dead. If only I'd done it sooner, I might have saved them.
I know, but there is some other great stuff coming down the pipeline. Like, have you heard about lobotomy?
No.
Oh, it's where they gently tap the patient's brain, and then the patient's completely stupid.
Oh, marvelous. I hate the clever ones. Always questioning me. I mean, which one of us went to medical school?
We both did.
That's not what I meant.
Then why did you just say it?
Never mind. Did you see the lecture on insulin-induced comas to treat addiction?
No.
Oh, my goodness. It was brilliant. What a show. They injected the patient with insulin. He goes completely mental. They're holding him down. Eventually, he finally stops freaking out, and he's in a coma.
And it stopped his addiction?
Dunno. He's still in a coma. But apparently, all of the psychiatrists are going nuts for it.
Well, then it must be good. I mean, when have the majority of people been wrong? Oh, and you must have seen the chemotherapy lecture yesterday, right?
No.
Oh, well, you were lucky. What a waste of 2 hours of my life. Some idiot was proposing that we inject people with poison to kill cancers.
Poison?
Yeah, it's literally derived from mustard gas.
Wouldn't that have nasty side effects?
Yes, that.
That?
Whatever side effect you're thinking of right now, it'll cause that. It literally causes everything.
Jesus! Does it at least work?
Like, some of the time. Like, if you're really straightforward case, no curveball, you might have a chance.
Dear God! Well, forget that. I'll just stick to good old bloodletting.
Good idea. Stick to what you know. Ah, how
now we change. Now we give our lobotomies in pill form. Much more civilized. Next up tonight is an excerpt from Canadian reality show Hungry for Work.
Hi, you must be Gary. I'm Pauline. Welcome to Corporate Sandwiches. Please take a seat.
Thank you for seeing me.
No problem. So, you're applying for the position of sandwich artist, is that correct?
Absolutely. Or failing that, sandwich apprentice.
Excellent. I see here, though, you don't have much previous experience in the food service industry, but a lot of warehouse work.
Oh no, that's whorehouse.
Ah. And why do you want to become a sandwich artist?
Well, you see, I have just always wondered, how do you make a sandwich? I've always wanted to know, but never thought to ask.
Didn't your mother make you them as a child?
Yeah, but I never asked her for the recipe.
Well, we do provide extensive training.
I'm glad to hear it, because I wouldn't have a clue where to start. Do all your stores serve all the different colored fleshy things?
You mean meats?
That's it. Sorry, meats, of course. Don't worry, I promise to pick up the technical jargon as quickly as I can.
Did you graduate high school, Gary?
Well, graduate is a strong word. I definitely left.
Okay, and what unique skills would you bring to our team?
I'm really good at judging people's personalities by their appearance.
So you're good at being prejudiced?
Yes, that's the word. It's a skill that is very useful in the service industry, I hear.
What interests or hobbies do you have outside of work?
Have you ever heard of furries?
No.
Well, it's why I'm wearing a suit with a tail.
Ah, I see. I thought perhaps that was a medical condition.
Oh, no. The eye patch and the angry blotchy skin on my face are medical conditions. The facial tattoo is, of course, a matter of taste, but people say it suits me. I just hope people realize that the swastika is meant to be ironic.
Right. Now, did you have any questions for me?
How often can I use the washroom?
As often as you need.
Great, because I do like to spend quite a lot of time in there. So, when do I start?
Well, we do have a lot of candidates to see, but I can assure you, you're the best candidate I've seen today.
Fantastic. I await your call. Make sure you call between 4 and 6 p.m. That's when I'll be near the phone at the methadone clinic.
No problem. I'll probably see you there anyway.
Thank you, Canada, for that illuminating piece. And that was brought to you in part by golf, a sport for people who don't like sport. Next up tonight is a theatre piece about school. For some, it was the best days of their life because they suck at being adults.
Hello, Mr. Neville. Thank you for coming in to see me. Take a seat.
Okay, which one is it? I bet it's Jenny. She's always in trouble. She's been fighting again.
No, nothing like that.
She kicked the shit out of that last teacher.
No, nothing like that. It's about your youngest, Harry.
Harry? But he's the good one. All the teachers love him.
Well, you see, that's it. One of his teachers, Mr. Collins, has informed me that Harry is dressing far too sexy.
Pardon?
Harry is, how can I put this? Hoo-hoo!
What are you saying?
I'm saying that Mr. Collins is finding it very difficult to teach with that gorgeous son of yours flaunting his perfect pecs in front of him. Harry needs to cover up.
Shouldn't Mr. Collins be the one controlling himself?
It's not just Mr. Collins. It's the janitors, the lunchtime supervisors, many of the girls in his class. They just can't take their eyes off him. They're all gagging for it.
Well, I think this is their problem, not his.
I wish it was, Mr. Neville. But you have to understand, they're just giving in to their animalistic impulses. Haven't you ever been turned on by a sexy young boy?
No. But if I was, I would keep it to myself. What is Mr. Collins' first name? I'd like a word with him.
I'm sorry, but I can't divulge that information.
Why not?
Because I don't know the answer. Might be Errol. Nah, that can't be right.
Look, this is ridiculous. My son should not be made to feel ashamed of himself because your staff are a bunch of pervs.
They are not pervs, Mr. Neville. The inquiry proved that. Now, if you would just have Harry put on a nice sweater and some jeans to cover those lovely muscular glutes, everything will be fine.
No, Harry is free to express himself as he sees fit. Now, if you will excuse me, I must get back to work. These assless chaps won't sell themselves.
Ah, poor Mr. Neville. It ain't easy being a dad. My kids never call, but that's okay. We won't be able to talk very much because I don't speak Swahili. Next up, people are arguing.
Just make a decision, Mexican or Italian.
I don't know, we had Italian last week.
Well, my first choice was Chinese.
Oh no, it never leaves me satisfied.
How about Greek?
Ew, no way, gross. Let's do Spanish.
No, stuff always gets stuck in my teeth.
What about North American?
It's always so fatty.
Well then, let's get Japanese. You can't go wrong with Japanese. It's consistent and always satisfying.
Fine, it's settled. Tonight, we'll get a Japanese hooker.
That is one advantage of being single. You don't have to consider others when buying a prostitute. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Caitlin Docking, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
All right, there you go. That was the White Noise show. This week, maybe if you have listened to us quite a lot, you may have noticed those sketches weren't brand new. Those are actually ones we redid because we're working towards a project in the next month where we're actually going to be doing a live stage version of White Noise. So we've been refining some of our long-standing material just to, showcase that on stage next month. But what did you think of this one, guys? How did we do?
I thought we did rotten. They're terrible. Really? Should have kept all the original ones. Just sampled those. No, they're good. I liked them. It's especially because I was featured a lot.
It's interesting because obviously, I mean, having done them before, if not at various like time intervals of a varying nature, the fact that we went in like 1 hour, won like 45 minutes of a session, and kind of just hammered them all out again, it provides an interesting contrast for stuff that we know, if not necessarily very well, at least from memory, how it sounded, where it could be improved upon, how we could do things differently. I think the more and more time we give it, the more and more we actually make it like absolutely totally well polished. But it was cool to sort of see the differences, at least as far as I can remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because even though we were playing, like, we tried to switch up the parts for most of it, and you could hear the influence of whoever did it originally in everyone's performance. Like, yeah, that was interesting to see.
Can you imagine like how good we'd be at the regular version if we actually practiced ahead of time? Like, it's incredible. Like, sometimes I just think about it.
If we didn't just read through and do it in one day.
No. We do that, right?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. If we didn't do that, yeah.
Right.
But we do that.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe if we were getting paid to do this, we might try harder.
Yes,
yeah,
Simon. Well, where is it?
Me and Sierra have been having some union discussions. And we think we're owed a bit of royalty.
Hey. We've been looking to the Reds, and
you want a cut of the $0 I get? I get it.
Hey,
I get it.
You got those Zoolander posters, man. That's not worth nothing.
I got 10 Zoolander posters in my room still.
You've heard it from us first.
It's true. Okay, I'll split the Zoolander posters with you.
And Simon's a slave driver.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Just stop. That's all you need to do. Just stop now.
Fine. Well, we should probably get on with the show rather than stopping, because that seems counterproductive.
We're going on strike.
Sierra, actually, I'm breaking with Sierra now. Actually, I'm going to stay. Sierra might go on strike.
All right, see you, Sierra. We're going on with the show. All right, first up tonight, we're going to play some tunes, and then we're coming back for some chit-chat. We've got some interesting ideas tonight, so stay tuned. But first, this is the Pack AD, and this is Teenage Crime.
On Labor Day weekend, September 2nd to the 4th, it's the Bumbershoot Festival 2016 in Seattle, Washington. The festival's got a little something.
Rising tide, do or die.
All right, there you go. That was the No Aloha with Generational Divide off Deluxe, their new album. Of course, we've heard from them before. Previously on No Problemo was the album before, and that we really enjoyed that one here, didn't we, Connor?
Yeah, it's a good one.
And yeah, the follow-up album is just as good. So yeah, definitely check those guys out. No Aloha, they've got quite a good collection building.
And the first record too, there's a Teenage Crying by the Packad or Packad, was actually pretty cool as well. I certainly by the end of it, I was actually really sort of jig along to it.
Yeah, I was very excited. That was one of the first ones pulled out tonight off our brand new stuff on the playlist, and yeah, it was. Good choice.
It had the right vibe to it, had the right energy.
Yeah, I knew it was good because it was a woman, but it sounded like a man, so I enjoyed it a lot.
Fair enough, Sierra. Fair enough. All right, so our first topic for tonight is, of course, there's been a bit of controversy in France over the banning of the burkini, which is a burqa / swimwear. That some Muslim women have adopted as their preference for beach wear. And it has caused quite an upset in France with Cannes and which other area was it?
140 other municipalities across the Mediterranean of France.
It's really? It's yeah. That high now?
Yeah, it's
wow.
Insane.
Wow, so 140 municipalities across the Mediterranean have banned the what they deem, I guess, offensive.
Well, they also cite it being like potential cover for like for people carrying bombs and stuff. So it's not just like oppressive or it like at least some of the reports I've read have had authorities or legislators citing like public safety.
Well, they'll say whatever they can think. Right, of but to justify,
I mean,
right?
I mean, well, the two can exist. I mean, they can be trying to justify it and find something that is or isn't half like.
Well,
good justification.
The original justification I heard was that it was because that it was a religious symbol, and in France, the mayor of Cannes, who was I say one of the first. Areas to ban it, said that it was against French ideals to have a religious symbols in public, even though the cross and the Star of David and no other religious symbols are banned.
Yeah.
So this is where the hypocrisy seems to lie, because at first glance, I can sort of see a point if you're going to say, hey, this is France, and in France, we've decided as a democracy, the majority have decided that we don't want any religious symbols whatsoever. Keep it in your house. Fair enough. If that was the message and everybody had to abide by that, I would say if I moved to France, that would be regardless of what I think, if I'm moving to France, that is what I have to do. In the same way, if you go to Saudi Arabia, you may cover up to as a woman to follow the local practices, not to offend people there. So, you know, that makes sense if it wasn't then counted
so
with...
not the case.
Yeah, yeah, not the case, and the other religious symbols are fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we haven't got a leg to stand on as it stands, unless they want to go, fine, well, then we ban everything and we move forward. And
yeah.
But, I scratched my head at first because... I was like, who cares? They're just going to the beach. And
I was just...
Let them go to the beach. Who cares? You go to the beach, do what you want. They go to the beach, do what they want. Why do you fucking care?
What?
Like, why? It's so bizarre.
Yeah, it's crazy. I actually thought it was an Onion article when I first saw it this morning. And I was like, that can't be true. And I mean, the crazy thing is, it's like, oh, you're banning something that is like... people trying to participate in a public activity that gets them out, like connecting with the people that they're trying to kind of assimilate into. And so you've got this community and then you're forcibly making this distinction of, oh no, you can't wear that even though that's what makes you feel comfortable when you're at the beach. And it's like, let's create further divide. And the rationalization I saw today on the BBC was, oh well, after Nice, we needed to do something. Because that's what made sense, to go up to women on the beach and fine them €40 and shame them in front of everyone and force them to strip down another layer. Like, I'm sorry, but how in the world is that a rational response?
The funny thing is, like, the legislators would claim the exact opposite. They would say that they're actually trying to promote equality by stopping people from having to be dressed in a certain way and putting everyone on the same level, sort of more or less. So it is interesting the different kind of layers that argument can have. I'm sure in the municipalities, in any democracy or any debate about it, people have brought up both sides of that sort of divide. And obviously it's just the visions existed already, which is why that they're happening there. There's already a history of people in the Mediterranean not getting along with people coming in, like immigrants from North Africa, refugees, asylum seekers. Those divisions already exist, and you're right, these only sort of serve, as much as you could try to build them as trying to break down these barriers and try to make everyone like dress sort of, you know, have the freedom of dress, the ability to wear a burkini or whatever is a freedom of dress. So, yeah, it's an awkward one.
If there was this blanket rule, is what it comes down to, then fine. But if they're not willing to ban everything, then they're just being racist, really, at that point, because they're just zoning in on one thing that they find offensive. And
definitely, because it would be way too controversial to go up to all of the French people.
Yeah. All Catholics in France, no more crosses.
We're going to burn your churches, because no public signs of religion
Notre
in
Dame,
this country.
Put a veil over that.
All right, let's play another song. We'll come back with a new topic. Next up tonight is Metronomy. And this one is called Night Out off their new album, so I'm pretty excited for this, if our CD player will cooperate. You're right, it is broken. In case you noticed earlier, we had a bit of a shit transition, because I went to go to the bathroom, kind of tried to change the CD, and it just didn't work for him at all. But it would appear that CD 2 needs some TLC. But that's okay.
Just fine, because I thought I saw
I can kill time talking absolute bollocks until the CD loads. And then just like that, it's going to play now, in any second now. Oh, there we go. And here's your Metronomy for you.
Radio hosts keep playing paparazzi. I think I loved you most.
I was just thinking it sounds more like...
We're talking about Metronomy there as we turned the mics on. Yes, that was Metronomy with Night Owl off Summer 08, their new album. And as we were just discussing, I think it sounds more like their last album than any other album they've done, but Connor feels...
I feel like it's more like a Night Owl or whatever, I guess the third album that was. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they're trying to like pull the last album and the first album together in this new one.
Maybe.
It doesn't sound anything like English Riviera.
No, I would agree with that. It doesn't sound like the English Riviera.
I don't know. It's sounding very 2008. I don't know if it's very 2016.
And when did, you know, the first album come out?
2007, I think.
I think you'll find 2008.
You want to say 2008? We'll leave that up for debate. But our next question tonight is relating to the Trump campaign and the sort of interesting chaos that's happened in the last few weeks that we haven't had a chance to discuss. So basically, his campaign manager quit. He hired the head of Breitbart, the massively far-right and openly prejudiced racist paper that is, well, it's an online news source. So he's hired the CEO of that company to be his campaign manager, and he's brought on also Roger Ailes, former head of Fox and pervert and sexual assault accused former owner of Fox. He is now also giving him tips on how to win this. So
sounds like a pretty good cast of candidates compared to Trump himself.
Yeah.
He's basically...
Can you spot the villain?
You know, well, it's hilarious because everyone's like, so when's the pivot to the center coming? And it's like, it's not. He's literally like driving in the opposite direction, flipping you off. Like, he has no intention of going to the middle.
But isn't that good for the Republican Party? Because
no.
Then they just...
Because the reason that someone like Mitt Romney is kind of dangerous against... someone like Hillary is because he kind of looks a little bit like he could be a Democrat if he just, I don't know.
Just like one word was different
if
here.
If he wasn't
there,
a Mormon.
A little bit more tanned,
or like,
maybe.
You know, they always pick someone that kind of you could accidentally mistake for a Democrat, and that's how they usually then pull votes from the middle, from the undecided voters who don't pay attention till November and then go eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Right, so it would have been good for the Republican Party if he had gone this direction before the RNC.
No, well, the point is...
Because then they wouldn't have chosen him.
Well, but he hasn't gone anywhere. He's just stuck on the same, like, chaotic direction he's been going the whole time.
Very postmodern of him.
Okay, sure. Connor, do you want to explain how that's postmodern of him?
Oh, so postmodernism essentially looks at the world less in a cyclical or sort of a linear progression over the course of history and sort of assumes a more interconnected kind of web of different points that
right,
sort of
but
accumulate
it,
and
but his
and
behavior
change.
Has been pretty linear in that it's kind of just stayed on the same projection. So that's the opposite of postmodern.
His points, maybe. I mean, it was a small side comment. I think you're digging
I know.
So much.
I just didn't get it. You said it's
chaotic,
it.
Which it absolutely is. And that is representative of a more postmodern view because chaos doesn't really exist
at least
the linear progression, at least only at the beginning. And in the cyclical progression, there's maybe a point where we return to chaos.
Please attend Connor's philosophy class held this fall in Buchanan.
Philosophy, this is political science. Get it right.
Which is just borrowed philosophy. But but getting back to our point, so he isn't pivoting, and because this is the point. Usually, in the race to be a Republican, you say all this crazy shit during the primaries because no one's paying attention and you win the primary votes. And then you pretend you didn't say any of that when you go into the presidential election and you try and win votes from undecided voters. But he has made no attempt to pretend that he didn't do anything, which is, yes, in line with his behavior so far. But it's insane if you're trying to run for president. You won't win. He can't win.
Have we ever thought that Trump was sane based on past comments, well, behavior?
He won a race he shouldn't have won using no money. So it looked pretty brilliant from the outside. It looked like he knew what he was doing. If his plan was to be elected Republican candidate, he did it on no money. Like, he trounced Jeb Bush, who spent a fortune. He trounced people who've been in Parliament, in the Senate and in the House of Representatives for years and years and years and have so much more experience. It'd be like if I applied to be CEO of Microsoft and beat out all the other candidates, and I didn't even hand in a resume. That's basically what happened there.
Like, they found Simon's LinkedIn profile, yeah. Which is just like a dick joke.
No, just a Facebook photo of me lying in my own vomit, and they put me in charge. That's what happened. It's yeah.
Wow. So this is what America is sunk to.
Yeah.
Shit.
Basically. So, but fortunately, this is a two-horse race. So
we'll donate any money you send to the White Noise Show directly to Hillary, right?
No, she doesn't need our money. Sod her. She's won.
I don't even think we could.
Yeah.
Can you from Canada?
What's the PO box, yeah, do you think?
I mean, John Oliver tried to do it for our election, right? So
she'll just put it in her Cayman Islands accounts and it'll be fine.
Cayman, please. Panama.
She likes the hats. All right, we're going to finish tonight with this band that I'm going to fuck up the name of when I say it. I think it's called Consilence or Consolence. And this song's called Grim. We'll be back next week with some brand new material, I promise, at our regular time of 9 p.m. So please join us then for some sketch comedy, some chit-chat, and some wicked music. We'll see you very soon. Any last words, either of you?
It's been a pleasure, as always.
Good night, guys.
Thank you for being here.
Man.
We'll see you guys very soon.
doing? This is Sean from Youth Brigade. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.